continuing on Daf Pei Aleph, the Mishnah. When a Kayin divorces his wife, they use a special get mekusher, which takes longer to write. If he doesn't use this get, but only a regular one, it's pasul. And if she marries another man, it's teitzei mizeh umizeh. Gemara. Rabbi Akiva holds that in the special type of a get, a karev can sign. Normally we know that a relative cannot be an aid or a signature on a shtar. But this kula that we said here, that a karev can sign, only applies if he's one of three adim. However, all of the adim cannot be kraven. If one of the three adim are kraven in this particular case, then they're allowed to sign. Otherwise, they're not allowed to. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak test, the final parak of Gittin, parak hamagarish, daf pei beis, the Mishnah. The most important part of the get are when the husband says, harei at muteres l'chol adam. What happens if he says, you are free to marry anyone except you can't marry Reuven? He made an exception. Rabbi Eliezer says, the get is chal. According to the Chachamim, the get is pasul, since it can only be chal if she becomes muteres lakol. She can only be chal if she's muter to everybody. The eitz is to take the get back and re-give it with the words, hareat muteres l'chol adam. Gemara. If a house in Eretz Yisrael has a nega, the house becomes tame. However, if the house belongs to a guy, it does not become tame, as we see from the Mishnah, kol habatim v'tamin b'negoyim ella shel eved kachavim. The svar of Rebbe Eliezer, that the get is chal, is since the pasuk says, v'holcha v'haisa l'ish acher, which is the dvarim chafdala. As long as she can marry another man, v'holcha v'haisa l'ish acher, she can marry another ish, the get is chal, even if she isn't mutter to the whole world. But the Rabbanan hold that ish means she must be permitted to every single ish, otherwise the get is pasul. Daf Pei Gimel. After Rebbe Eliezer died, many Tanoim came and explained why they disagreed with his shita of Ella Leplaini, that he said before, that she can marry anyone except this one person, that's considered a good get according to Rebbe Eliezer, including Rebbe Yekiva, Rebbe Loza Ben Azariah. They said that they don't agree with him, since this weak get can lead to children who will be mamzerim. But Rebbe Yeshua answered them and said that you can't refute the lion, i.e. Rebbe Eliezer, after he died, since he could have defended himself if he were alive. Now, but he's not alive, you can't disagree with him. Gemara asks, where do we have a case where one man causes a woman to be usser, and a second man comes and makes her mutter? Our answer is by Yibam, where the first man assers her to others, but the new brother, by a chalitza, makes her mutter to all others. Rav Pinchas learns that a woman makes a neder with the kavana that it should only be chal if the husband wants it to be, but if he doesn't want it to be chal, the neder should not be chal. And finally, if a man gives his wife a get and says, today we're divorced, but tomorrow we should be married again, is it good or not? Both according to Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, the get is chal, and they won't be remarried unless he redoes the Maisa Kedushin. Daf Pei Dalet. If a person gave a get to his wife to be chal only if she marries a certain person, if she marries someone else, we say Lei Teitze, so as not to give strength to the Tanai that he said, which was said by the husband. If a person makes a neder that he won't sleep today on the condition that he sleeps tomorrow, Rabbi Yehuda says we don't allow him to sleep today because he may sleep tomorrow and the neder will be chal l'mafreya. Rav Nachman says, he can't sleep today, or not chayshish for tomorrow. So in our Mishnah, by the get, she should be allowed to marry a different man. But according to all, the only time you can be mekel is if within their own power, to carry out the tnai. But if it's within someone else's power, we need to be more machmer. If a husband says, here's a get for you, but it should only be chal if you go up to the rakia, go up to Shemayim, which of course we know is impossible, then it's not chal. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seima says, that it's a good get, since he's only trying to cause her anguish, but really he wants it to be chal. What if a man says this get should only be chal if you eat the meat of a chazir, of a pig, which of course is utzer? So it's a machlekes between Rava and Abaye if the get is chal when she doesn't eat the basar chazir. Of course, by eating the basar chazir, she's over on a different iser, but it's a machlekes whether it would be chal or not. If a person makes a tanai which would involve doing an iser, why don't we say that it shouldn't be relevant, since he's going against the words of the Torah? Anyone who makes a tanai against the Torah, the get or any other shtar, would be chal even without the kiyama tanai. Our answer is this chal only applies if it's against his own obligations, i.e. she'erek susviyainasa, the husband's responsibility to a wife. Masha'enkin, here he wants her to be over on an iser, therefore it would be good. Rava said to all those who could write gittin, admonish husbands to remain silent and not to make any tanayim on gittin until after the tariff is written. In other words, it's not good to put tanayim on gittin at all. Try to avoid doing it completely. Rebbe says, any tanay put into a get passels it, even if the tanay is later mekuyim. The Chachamim say, any tanay if expressed orally would passel the get. If it's written, it also passels the get. but if expressed orally would be binding, wouldn't possibly get if it was written. However, this machlokes is only if the tanai was made before the tariff was written. If the tanai was written after the tariff, the get is kasher midaraisa. It's only pasul midarabanan, as Taisus brings down. Rabbi holds machlokes is just the opposite. Daf pehei, Mishnah. A man wrote in a get to his wife that she is permitted to everyone except to my father or your father, or my brother or your brother, i.e. all people who are arayas, and kedushin isn't chal for them anyways. So this isn't called an exclusion, and the get would be chal, because these people are aser anyways. Gemara. What if someone says you can marry anyone besides a katan? Do we say since he's now a katan and kedushin cannot be chal, or do we say in the future he'll be a gadol where the kedushin can be chal? So this is called an exclusion. Nachman says we learn from a katana's acceptance of a get that it is called an exclusion. What if he says accept someone who wasn't born yet? This the Gemara is not poshut. What if he says you can marry anyone with kesef or bia but not with shtar? The Gemara says teiku. Mishnah. The essence of a get are the words hareat muteres l'chol adam. But Tiferes Yisrael points out, of course, that these words are in addition to his name, her name, the place, and the date. This, of course, has to be included in the tariff. Otherwise, of course, it's possible. But these are additional words, hareat muteres l'chol adam, which are the primary additional words besides the words of a tariff. Rabbi Yehuda says, the get must also have the following words, v'dein l'chihavi minoi, sefer tiruchin v'igeres shivuchin. This piece of paper coming from you to me should be a letter of abandonment, so that you should marry any man you want. V'dein l'chihavi minoi, sefer tiruchin v'igeres shivuchin. In a get shichrur, the key words are hareat bascharin, hareat la'atzmech. The Gemara. If in a get a man writes hareat bascharin, it's like nothing, doesn't mean anything, and the divorce is not chal, since as a married woman, she's also considered a bascharin. The Rabbanan hold, even if the get doesn't say the words v'dein l'chi havi minoi, the get is chal, since they hold yadayim she'ein mechichais havi yadayim, even if it isn't clear, but since he gave her the get, his actions are strong enough to interpret what he's doing. He's giving her a get. Rabbi Yehuda says, yadayim she'ein mechichais loy havi yadayim. Since without the words v'dein l'chi havi minoi, the whole transaction isn't really clear what he did. Therefore, the get would be pasul. Abaya says, a person shouldn't write the word v'dein with a yud, since it looks like v'din, but rather he should just write v'dein without the letter yud. That pave off the Mishnah. The following three cases, the get is pasul, but if she remarries afterwards and has children, these children are not mamzerim. Number one, if he wrote it but he had no edim. Number two, if there were edim but there was no zman. We know that the reason we need zman is only mir rabbanan, since shame yechata al basa chosei. If an uncle married his niece, as she was Mizana, and she was Mizana then as an Eshes Ish, and he has Rachmanis on her, so he'll give her a get without a date, and she'll use it to say that she got the get before she did the Maises Nus, therefore she shouldn't be put to death. Also, if there was a Zman in the get, but there was only an Eid Echad. In all of these cases, the get is pasul, but if she marries afterwards and has children, these children are not Mamzer. The Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer holds Eidi Mesira Karsi. He holds that the only reason we have signatures on Gittin is mitnei tikkun olam, so that the husband can't deny anything if she can't find Eidim. Rameir holds that the cases of the Mishnah, we be machmer, since we say kol ha-mishana metbeah shetavu l'ham chachamim yoytzim v'havlad mamzer. We have to be very machmer by cases where it wasn't done properly. The Gemara says anytime there's a suffix, if there's a choice of doing yibam or chalitza, we are chaletzes v'loy misyabemes. We always do chalitza. For example, if he threw her a shtar kedushin, and it was Safik Karavloi, Safik Karavla. If a shtar has no signatures, or a get has no signatures, as long as it's given in front of two edim, the shtar is valid, because Rabbi Lazar holds edim is sira karsi. And Rav said, the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar by gin. Shmuel adds, the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar by shtaris also. Mishnah. Two people with the same name wanted to divorce their wives, and they used the same shliach. So the shliach should give both gitin to one wife, and both to the other. First he gives it to one as a matana al manas lahachzer, takes it back, and then he gives it to the other. Since it's a suffix, which get is for which, he has to give both to both. Also, five people who write their gittin on one piece of parchment, and at the bottom there are witnesses for all of them, and one date for all five. All of the gittin are kosher, but it must be given to one matana al manas lahachzer, then to number two, then to number three, etc. But if the date changes for each get, then only the one with edim under it, number five, is kosher, but the rest are pasul. Gemara. Our mission is not like Rabbi Lazar, who holds Eidei Masira Karsi, so Eidei Chasima do not have to be Lishma. Daf Pei Zayin, the Mishnah, as background. On a shtar, when a witness signs, he signs his name and then his father's name. And then he writes the word Eid. So he would write Yaakov ben Moshe Eid. But in Greek, if signed in Greek instead of Hebrew, they would actually do it just the opposite. First they would sign the father's name, then their own name. So it was Yaakov ben Moshe, they would first write Moshe and then Yaakov. If a shtar that has a few gittin written on one particular piece of paper, some with Jewish signatures and some with Greek signatures, i.e. everybody who signed it was Jewish, but some people wrote it in Hebrew and some people wrote it in Greek, the first signatures are kosher, but the later ones are pasul. If the signatures are all mixed up on the gittin, i.e. one get has one Jewish signature and one Greek signature, then all of it is pasul. Gemara. Certain Amoraim, when they would sign their names, they would draw a siman. For example, Rav used to draw a fish by his signature. And the parish Yisa Bracha, who brings from the Taisves Chachme Anglia, points out that he did this because the Pasuk says, V'yidgu l'rayv b'kerav aretz. The word rayv is written without a vav, which is like V'yidgu l'rav. Therefore, Rav used a fish by his signature. The Mishnah. A person wrote a get on two columns, i.e. he started on one column and completed it on the other, and Adam signed under the second column only. We say that it's kosher. However, if the Adam signed at the top of the get or on the side of the get, then it's pasul. Normally, when Adam sign a get, they write the word aid afterwards, Moshe ben Yaakov aid. If they just wrote two of these three elements, i.e. they just wrote Moshe ben Yaakov, they didn't write the word aid, or they wrote Moshe aid, or they just wrote Yaakov aid, then it's also considered kosher. Daf Peches. Gemara. We must be able to clearly recognize both signatures on a get, otherwise it's pasul. What if the get, instead of writing the name of the divorcee, they just wrote the name of his family? That it's kosher. And a family name used for up to 10 generations ago can be used in this situation. Shimon ben Elazar says only up to 3 generations is okay. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said Eretz Yisrael doesn't become charev, doesn't become destroyed, until separate 7 separate kingdoms of Eretz Yisrael were Eved Avodah Zarah, including Yerovam ben Nevat, Achav, and Hoshea ben Ela. From the Pasuk in Daniel, V'yishkoid Hashem al Hara, Hashem hurried to bring Tzaras. Why did Hashem want to rush and do it so quickly? Our answer is so that they would be quick into getting into Golas and would be able to firmly establish themselves quickly in Torah, i.e. in Bavel. Rav Akiva Yaakov learns from the Pasuk of Oved Tevedu, the word Mehera means by Hashem that quick is equal to 852 years. The Chasam Sofer says that when we say the words Sheyibana Beis Hamikdash Mehera V'yamenu, we add the word V'yamenu, since Mehera means 852 years to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we say B'yameinu that it should be according to our cheshbon of Maher, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, B'yameinu, the Mishnah. If a person was forced by a Jewish bezdin to give a get, since it's the case where al pi din he's required to give her a get, the get is considered kosher. Even though normally a person must normally be willing to give the get on his own accord, or it's pasul, in this case we say that it's kosher. This procedure is that we force him by giving him Malkus, as we learn in Erechen Daf Chaf Aleph, until he capitulates and says the words, Reitza Ani. It's interesting to point out that this procedure seems a bit strange, because if in fact the husband's consent is essential to executing a get, why is a get that's forcefully extracted by Bezin considered valid? What significance can there be to a coerced verbal consent if in his heart he really doesn't want to give a get? The Rambam in Hilchas Gerish and Perek Beis Halacha Chaf, in answer to this question, elaborates, as we see brought in Al-Hadaf, and explains that since the husband is obligated by the Torah to grant this get, we assume that deep in his heart of hearts, he really wants to comply with his Torah obligations, as does every Jew, and therefore we attribute his outward refusal merely to his temporary evil impulse of his Yetzer Hara. Consequently, Bezdin's coercion is viewed as though they are forcing him to do what he really wants to do, since he basically wants to act as a proper Jew and do the correct thing. Bezdin's coercion is viewed as though it just serves to soften his temporary evil impulse. And when he says Reitzani, it's taken at face value, but he really wants to grant the get and do the proper things. However, many Paiskim comment that the Rambam's reasoning apparently does not apply with regard to a case in which the husband is a Meshumad, or a Mummer, who openly and defiantly rejects his Judaism, and there they have to force him to give a get. They argue that regard to such a person, since there obviously is no assumption that he actually would like to behave like a proper Jew, his refusal to grant a get cannot be attributed merely to a temporary evil impulse of his. Consequently, there is much discussion and deliberation amongst the Paiskim as to if and how Bezdin can coerce a Mummer to grant a get, even if he doesn't want to. The Mishnah continues, if a Goyish court forces him to give a get, then the get is pasul. In a country where a local Jewish Bezdin doesn't have the legal power to force a get, they can work in conjunction with a Goyish court to force one. Gemara. Bezdin can only force a get if al pi din he's mechuyev to give a get, but they can't force under other circumstances. Abaye says, in order for a Bezdin to force a get, they must be smuchin, They must have smicha all the way back from Moshe Rabbeinu. Reb Tarfon says, anytime you have a bezdin of goyim, even if their laws are similar to those of the Jews, you're not allowed to bring your cases to them, since the pasuk says, "V'eila hamishpatim asher tosim lifneihem, lifneihem v'lo lifnei avid kachav." The Mishnah. If a rumor goes out that a certain woman got married, and bezdin can confirm this rumor, she has a din of mekudeshes, of being married. If another rumor says she's megureshes, then she's considered megureshes at that point. Daf Peites, the Gemara. All she needs is a rumor to make her megureshes, and she can marry anyone? That doesn't make any sense. Once she has a cheskes eishes ish, which is midaraisa, how can a rumor make her mutul l'chol adam? Our answer is, the same rumor that made her married can make her divorced as well. It started as a rumor, it can end as a rumor. And therefore, that new rumor is enough to take her out of that chazakah of being married. If there is a rumor that someone is a mamzeres, not only don't we believe the rumor, Bezdin doesn't even bother to investigate it. If Bezdin validates a kol, a rumor, that said she's mekudeshes, and the husband then comes back from Medina Sayam and says that the kol, the rumor, was not true, Bezdin can then be mevatel the kol they originally made. But in Harda, they were not mevatel kailos, since people didn't spread rumors that fast to begin with. So if they did hear a rumor, there must have been some pretty strong evidence to that rumor. And finally, if a man went to Medina Sayam and an Eid Echot came and said, your husband died. If she married a new man and then the first husband returned taka alive, she has to be teitzei mizeh umizeh. This is a knas from the Chachamim. The only reason that we allow an Eid Echot in a case like this is so she won't remain an aguna for the rest of her life. But in a case where an Eid Echad came, she's expected to investigate very thoroughly the claim of the Eid Echad before she remarries. But if she does remarry and taka the other husband comes back, then she has to be teitzei mizeh umizeh. When a woman says publicly that her husband gave her a divorce, we believe her, because ein isha mi'iza paneha bifnei bala. A woman wouldn't have the chutzpah to lie straight out about something so serious right in front of her husband's face. So probably what she's saying is true. Daf Tzadik, the Mishnah. Beis Shammai says a man shouldn't divorce his wife unless she acted immodestly against halacha. Otherwise, he shouldn't divorce her at all, because the pasuk says he should only divorce her in a situation of ki matza ba'ervas davar. He finds something that she did which was an ervas davar, i.e. something which was immodest. Beis Hillel says he can divorce her for any reason, even if she just burns the food. Rabbi Akiva says he can divorce her even if he just wants to marry somebody else who he likes better, because the pasuk says v'haya imlay simtzachein bi'enav. The Aruch HaShulchan brings down that these three shitas aren't necessarily halacha, but rather just etza tovus. But he brings other shitas that hold, if a man stam divorces his wife for reasons other than erbas davar, according to Beis Shammai, he would be over on an iser midaraisa. The Gemara. Beis Shammai uses davar to teach us that just like daber davar by edim shows us you need two edim for testimony, so too the only way that Bezdin can force a man to give his wife a get is if two edim saw her doing maisiz nus. But of course, if the man wants to divorce her on his own, that we know he can do, depending on this machlokes. Reish Lakish said, when the word ki appears in the Torah, it can mean four different things. If, perhaps, except, or because. Beis Shammai holds, ki matzah ba'ervas davar, means because he found an erva. I.e., he can only divorce her if he found something that she did which was immodest. Beis Hillel says, ki also means because, but davar, ki matzah ba'ervas davar, is separate from erva. So he can divorce her if she did anything which he didn't like. Rabbi Akiva holds, ki means if, i.e. if she doesn't find favor in his eyes. Therefore he can divorce her for any reason. Rava says that if he found absolutely nothing wrong with her, but divorced her anyways, then he must take her back. If a husband wants to divorce his wife, he shouldn't pretend that everything is okay, but he should tell her that he intends to divorce her. The Gemara says there are some people who are sensitive about their food. For example, if a fly falls into a cup of wine, most people would take the fly out and then drink the rest of the wine. But some people are extremely sensitive, and they would just throw out the entire cup of wine with the fly in it. This, of course, isn't the proper midah to do. Most people treat their wives with respect, but some people won't let them talk to strangers while they're away. This, of course, also is not a proper midah. If a man sees his wife go to the shuk with her hair uncovered, or with short sleeves, or she goes to the same pool that men go to swim, in these cases, he has a mitzvah to divorce her, since these are considered cases of pritzus. In the Beis HaMikdash, women whose husbands divorced them for no good reason would come and cry over the Mizbeach. And finally, the Masechta ends by saying that a person's first wife is Zivig Rishon. He can only divorce her if he finds her behaving immodestly, Matzah Ba'ervas Davar. Mashein Ken, his second wife, he can divorce her for any reason. As Rebbe Elazar said, anyone who divorces his first wife for no good reason, even the Mizbeach will shed tears. As the Pasuk in Malachi says regarding Eshes Ne'urecha, a man's first wife. In fact, the Rambam brings this in Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Yud, Halacha Chof Aleph, that a man can only divorce his first wife if he finds her behaving immodestly, but a second wife he can divorce for any reason. Hadron Alach, Mesechtas Gittin.